have to push it up. It's sort of in a neutral mode. Yeah, push it up till the light turns green. Yeah, just push that up. Yeah, there you go. You hear it come on. It'll come on about 4 seconds. All right. I've talked to, some of them, not all of them, one-on-one. I thought, you know, we need to share what's going on in the church because this is our region. This is our county. And we often think because we're in the conservative South, it's all good. But sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And so I think you're ready to go, aren't you? Why don't you start there, Deborah?
Maybe I just look that way.
We'll just go down the line here. Y'all jump in whenever. It's just sort of a discussion, yeah.
Hey, RC, can y'all hear me? Can you hear me okay? All right. Just a reminder before I start this, the Bible reminds us that we are not to be taken captive by such schemes, and that's Colossians 2:4. So a couple of weeks ago at the GOP meeting at Whitfield County Republican Party, a woman named Rhonda Thomas, who is from Metro Atlanta, she came and spoke to us. She's with a nonprofit organization called Truth in Education, and telling us of the things that they're trying to implement into our schools. And this is pre-K to 12, grade 12. So they're starting what's called SEL, social and emotional learning. Okay?
Yeah, you can pull up a chair if you want to sit by your liar. Yeah, just pull a chair up here. You got it? You want me to help you?
Also, Rhonda Thomas represents Truth in Education, which is a Christian advocacy group out of Metro Atlanta, 20-plus years of experience. And so the social and emotional learning, what it is basing most of your, with students, emotions and emotional learning, which already over 90% is already in our schools. And this is 2020 stats about that. Bill Gates funded, George Soros, local and state education agencies, private funds, and federal dollars, which means your federal dollars are paying for this as well, which is the kick in the pants as far as I'm concerned. So what it does is it basically just creates tolerance on pretty much any level except a Christian level. That's excluded, of course. And it just perpetuates victim mentality in the schools. And let's see. Also, too, Rhonda Thomas is coming. She's willing to come back on May 4th and do a four-hour class, which would educate us more on this subject, but also on where funding is coming from, the grants, because that's a big thing, where the money's coming from, because they'll tell you what their agenda is, which is to basically, it's an evil agenda, and it's to steal our children's mind and their innocence, even as young as preschool, and even some churches have incorporated this mentality. Then also, you won't be safe with homeschool either, because they're going to go after them too. And these are laws that were already passed into effect. Again, the websites.
What are some things you're talking about? Do you remember anything, any of you?
Y'all can jump in.
So what? Why do we not want this SEL, or why do we be aware of it?
Hello, y'all can hear me? Okay, so one big thing that we're fighting right now is pornography material in our school libraries.
Which is already there.
Every library, it is there, and they're trying to pass laws to keep it there, while also keeping out the Bible, not wanting kids to talk about their religion. So that is a big thing that we're fighting as well.
Daily surveys that they're having the kids to take, the asking personal questions that really should be left up to the parents at home, trying to nudge the parents out of the child's school career altogether. And kids as early as 13, if they decide they want to transition into another sex, that they're trying to make it where the parents will be completely exempt from it. And they can transition and be a guardian of state as early as 13 years old.
Well, and it's even gotten to the point now that in some states they can take your parental rights away if you do not agree with your minor who is not even of age. they can take your parental rights away and take the children out of the home as well.
Well, that happened this past 2 weeks. There's a couple in Indiana that their kid wanted to transition, and they said no. And the state took them, and the Supreme Court held it up this week. So you're not the final arbiter of whatever for your kids.
And a lot of this is going into law, but next year is going to be really scary because that's when they're going to try to really implement it all. And but this is some of the things you were asking that they want to do. Outline the intent strategy behind the secular world wide being taught to our children, expose methods of indoctrinating children to have fluid identities. We reveal how children are encouraged to be activists through Marxist-based movements. Explain the branches of critical theory, including critical race theory, diversity, equality, queer theory, transgender. Also, meditation at schools on Hindu, Buddhism, which you just talked about, New Age, humanism. Just goes on and on. Again, you can look at these websites yourself. Truth in Education is Rhonda Thomas's site. And you've got more. Move this world. And Castle, C-A-S-E-L. Or other websites that will give you more. I guess the point I'm trying to make with everyone, you know, I don't even have a pony in this race. I don't have children in school anymore. But, you know, another member of the GOP the other night after she was done speaking, Rhonda, I was really shocked and appalled. And he made this statement, wow, I'm glad I don't have any children in school. And I literally, before I even knew what I said, which I have that problem sometimes, I said, have you lost your mind? I said, just because you don't have any children in school, these are children of our future. And I don't know about anybody else, but I personally have made a vow that I'm going to stand in the balance and do whatever I can to protect our children in any way I can, whether it's going to the Capitol or speaking to lawmakers. You know, get with me if you want to help. Prayer, definitely prayer. We need prayer first and foremost.
So I'm going to try to sum this up in about 5 to 6 minutes at 6:59. I'm going to look at that clock because I can be long-winded. So Don't Mess With Our Kids is not one organization. It's not one church. It's multiple across the United States that have started this movement. And the mission in this movement is to turn America back to God. And the crisis is what she was just talking about. It's indoctrination, and it is trying to speak false identities over our children. And who knows that we have the victory and that we have the word, we have the truth, and truth trumps the lies. So it is up to us to stand up and to speak truth over our children, but also over the children that don't have that. They don't have a home that is speaking truth into them. So it is up to us. And even if, like she said, you don't have children, we're the church, we're the body of Christ. And so what is on God's heart should be on our hearts. And the children right now are on his heart. So that's the crisis. Well, the plan of action, which my mom is handing you papers right now, is first to pray individually and corporately, to fast individually and corporately, and then to stand individually and corporately. So with prayer, they have prayer hubs. And like I said, this is not just one organization. This is us as a body to be praying corporately over these same issues. So if you have a spouse, if you have a child, they have prayer hub materials for children where they can understand. It's worded in ways that children can comprehend. You have a prayer hub, 2 to 10 people, and they have all the materials on here. It's all free. So when you go on there, and it'll have the prayer points, the school systems, our government, politics, all these things that we need to be praying corporately together on. So once we do that, this is what this is about. It's in the air. We have the air game first, which is prayer and fasting. That is most important. And then we have hit the ground running. So the first thing we're going to be doing is April 13th, 2024, call to the capitals. Every single state of the United States is going to be meeting in their time zone, whatever that is, 1 to 3 on the 13th. We're going to go. We're going to stand for our children. We're going to pray. We're going to have communion. And most importantly, before any of that, we're going to repent on behalf of this nation. Now, I will say something that's been stirring in me. It starts within our own self. What does God do? He looks at his house first. So we have to say, Lord, examine my heart. Anything wicked in me, God? Am I mothering my children right? Am I fathering my children right? Am I being the grandma, the grandpa that I'm supposed to be? Examine me first, and then we can go and repent on behalf of a nation. Because we all know revival does not come until there's repentance. So this is actually going to be leading up to October 12th. They're calling for 1 million families at the mall. They've already secured the mall in D.C. for this day. It's actually the Day of Atonement. So that is the day of the holy day that it's for repentance. It's for washing, you know, for Israel that they were cleansed, you know, they were cleansed through repentance. So I believe that this is a critical year for us to do what we are supposed to do and gather as a body of Christ and let the Lord's will be done by standing and be, you know, we have to have action behind our faith. We can't just sit by idly and expect everybody else to do it. Every voice matters in this year. I mean, every voice matters always. But I don't know if anybody else in here is an intercessor, but before I even heard about this, the Lord was speaking to me. I felt this fire come in my belly for these children that need us to stand up and be the voice that they need us to be. So,
yeah, you want to say anything, Lisa?
Yes.
All right.
I'm going to really more speak from personal, from my heart. I'm going to try to ignore y'all. This is not fun for me. But I want to speak from my heart. And I've got my nieces and nephews and in the room. And I want y'all to hear my heart. You know, I want to proceed what I say, you know, I'm not speaking, you know, that, you know, homeschooling is the only way, public school is the only way, whatever. I've never been a person to be like that, to say. I believe it's a calling. It's truly a parent's calling of what their kids, how their kids are supposed to be educated. I remember when my oldest son, who is 38 years old, I can't believe he's that old anyway, the day that I found out about homeschooling for the first time from Jan, when he was literally a toddler, and I thought, oh my goodness, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And she sent Brian and I this seminar about homeschooling, and I mean, we both looked at each other after we listened to it, and we were like, guess what? That's what we're being called to do. And many years later, we didn't homeschool any of our kids all the way through school, but we did what God called us to do when He called us to do it. That's the key. You got to be listening to what God's calling you to do. And I've been out of the homeschooling arena for, you know, several years. Felt being called back into, and you know, with Deborah's help, getting, come on, Lisa, come to these meetings with me and stuff. And because I just, I've now got these grandchildren. I've got these nieces and nephews that are going to have children that are my heart. And God's using, you know, like this meeting. I haven't gone to every meeting. I'm not, you know, I'm getting called back into this political, you know, arena, because I just feel like God's, showing me things that I've taken for granted for many, many, many years personally. I don't know if anybody else in the room feels this way, but you thought the things that you thought were truth for so many years, for all of your life, you're like, oh wow.
Here, put this a little closer.
Yeah, it's not that way. And So I just, and becoming just more and more aware of how important what's going on right here in our community is. Not out there in Washington, D.C., but what's happening here in our communities. The elections of our judges, the people on our school system board. And that's a lot what, you know, this, you know, like what they're talking about.
Well, because it starts in your home, in your community.
Right.
And then it goes out from there. We have to look at what our realm of influence is and be the voice.
Right.
You are completely right. And there are so many people, even myself, I homeschool, but I thought I was, because I homeschooled, I was safe and I could just la, 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 la. And the Lord
right.
had to reveal those things to me that are not, they don't make you feel good as a mom. They, at first, fear tries to creep in. But we have a, every single person has a calling in this, for this right here to
yeah,
be a
right.
voice.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful for people in our own church body who are involved in the public system. I mean.
Yeah, Tiffany's a teacher.
I mean, y'all are just, and your spouses and your families are just integral in, you know, the future. But anyway. I am feeling now called back, you know, now that I've got grandkids in this, especially, but I mean, just our kids in general in our nation, in our area. So anyway.
I know we've went over our time. Can I read these
no,
two scriptures
sure,
really quickly?
Yeah. It's not like we're on a time schedule here.
Okay, so this is crazy. In November, when they first went over the things with us to share with people that I wasn't aware of, it was 1 in 5 Gen Z identified as LGBTQ+. As of now, I think it was last month, they redid the statistics for the United States, and now it is 1 in 3 identify as LGBTQ. If that does not tell us that there is a problem, nothing else will. That is an identity issue at its root. And one thing the Lord has been dealing with me, just like I said a minute ago, it starts with us. He's been speaking to me about us being rooted in our identity. How can we go out here and speak identity over them if we're not asking the Lord, Lord, is there false identities over me? Am I who you call? Am I stepping into who you created me to be? So it starts, like she was saying, it starts in and it goes out. And the two verses that the two scriptures that are for this movement is Nehemiah 4:14. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. That is a call to fight for our families. And then Esther 4:13-14, which today is actually, it was Purim yesterday evening through today, which is the celebration of the Jews getting set free from Haman. Haman's, you know, where he was going to kill them. So that's just a little interesting thing that I didn't know till this year. But Esther 4:13-14 says, do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. The church cannot think that we can hide in our palaces and escape destruction. It is all coming for our children. Even our homeschools cannot protect us. Like Esther, God is asking us to pray, fast, and stand by using our voices. And that is everybody.
And don't forget your tax dollars are funding this as well. I mean, even if you don't think you have any part in it, you know, our monies that we pay in taxes are funding the whole thing. So you certainly have something. You have a voice. You know, we all need to stand up and use it in one way or another. And as Cece said, just pray about it and see where your calling is and what to do.
And don't let fear, don't let fear start to creep in either, because that's what, another thing that the Lord has been speaking to me so strongly is when he shows us these things, it's because he has a solution. He has the victory. He just needs us to come into agreement with that and be his hands and feet and be his voice for these children. And once we come in alignment with his will for the United States of America. It's over for the enemy. That is why it is the way it is, because he is so scared of these children who have an anointing on their life. They have a calling on their life. And he is trying. He's pulling out every weapon he has. I got something to tell him. He's got a people that is rising up and that are using their voices. Me, like she said, I'm telling you, I'm the last person you'd ever thought been up here. I know the people that know me know this. I'm terrified of speaking in the microphone. But when you see what is on the Father's heart and you ask him to break your heart for what breaks his, you cannot stay silent anymore. So one thing I want to urge every single one of y'all to do, and even myself to continue to do, is ask the Lord, what is my part? It's not going to look the same for everybody. It may be getting involved in the school board. It may be going and speaking out about certain candidates that he has you speaking out of from a place of love and just sharing certain statistics. It may be something as simple as going and volunteering at the Capitol that day to pick up trash or to hand out communion or to pray over people. Whatever step, whatever next thing he says for you to do for this movement, this us rising up and unifying as a body of Christ, just be obedient and do it well. And I think if we all do that, hey, his will's going to be done. It is. It's just period.
We'll give them a clap off from there. You can just turn your microphones off to pull it down.
Thank you.
So let me say this. Some people think we're trying to do a theocracy. We're not trying to do a theocracy. What we're trying to do is educate our kids the way we want to educate our kids. And it's rapidly being taken away. All you got to do is look at Canada. You say, well, we have free speech in America. It's about 50 to 60% gone now. At the rate we're going with the censorship in this country, it'll be gone within a year for Christianity, unless you believe a certain way. We don't force anybody to believe a certain way. It's not a theocracy like that, but we do want you to let us believe how we want to believe and teach how we want to teach. And then consequences, people take whatever path they want. But that's rapidly gone. You say, well, Canada. Canada is leading the West in losing free speech. 90 churches were set on fire last year in Canada, and they did not prosecute one person. Pastors were put in prison over and over again for preaching from their own pulpit on certain topics. They're in prison today. This is in Canada. It's a test case. Australia be next, and then us. It's silencing our voice. We don't care what you believe. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But that also means we get to believe whatever we want to believe. And so that's the part we're losing. Amen?